I can hold it.
No way, the mic's mine. Joint's yours, the mic's mine.
I guess there seems to be a premise that a lot of the down periods are built on, one of which is that there's sort of a relativist argument about war. And to me, I don't really quite understand why you reject the notion that, what they did in gas chambers in Nazi Germany is less of an awful way of disposing of people than throwing an airplane through a building with civilians in it.
I'll rescind it,
but it does seem to me that the whole premise of this line of thinking, whether it's yours or the administration's or elsewhere, is basically to accept the notion that we're in a different time of war and a different rules of engagement than ever before in history. And I would submit that any kind of warfare changes, the dynamic of it would change necessarily as history advances, and that's probably a component of different rules of engagement. Similarly, that the idea of a nation state and the idea which sort of prohibits the idea of guerrilla warfare or people who are not yet organized as a nation, therefore have some other, are never considered as legitimate liberation combatants or any other kind of, they wouldn't receive the same kind of protection. So the only point I'm making is how, if you dismiss those as being the undercurrent premise, then how can you say we need new rules for torture?
First, again, and this is a response to the question too, I'm not making that kind of claim. And I really think it is inappropriate to suggest that the arguments I'm making are in any way designed to defend what happened in the concentration camps or defend what Nazi Germany did. I think that it really is unfair to read those statements or what the Bush administration's policies are as an effort to do that. So I don't know if that's your intent, your implication, but that's what it sounds like what you've said. And so I do want to reject that idea. The second thing, the point I was trying to make, is that we do elect policymakers, and they have to make cost-benefit decisions about how to wage war. And I will say, compared to World War II, the kind of conflicts the United States has waged in Afghanistan and Iraq have been far more careful about not causing collateral
more recent wars. But that's a different issue. That doesn't mean that we can say, well, because we've got a new kind of war, the old rules don't apply, even though the old rules are written applying across the board, saying you can't torture and you can't commit cruel and human degrading.
Thanks for that. And I'm not saying that civilian deaths aren't occurring in Iraq or Afghanistan but I'm just saying that they're occurring at a far less rate than they occurred in previous wars. And in fact, our troops are trained very carefully not to try to discriminate so as not to kill civilians. And I think there are a lot of examples where this has happened, where the United States has refrained from attacking certain targets in certain ways because there's a disproportionate impact on civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan. The other point I'd like to make is I'm not arguing, or was not arguing, that because we face something new in 9/11, that means that we ought to toss out all the rules and just do whatever we want. What I was making the claim is that, and this is not an unfamiliar situation for lawyers, is that we have a set of rules that were designed for a different kind of conflict. And what I think the Bush administration is doing is trying to adapt the principles of those rules to this new kind of conflict. But it's not entirely obvious, and there's I don't think any clear right answers right now about how to do that. So one thing, I don't disagree with much of what Doug has described as an international human rights framework. I do think, for example, that all detainees we capture are entitled to humane treatment. What we are disagreeing about is the space between humane treatment and torture. But that doesn't mean that I'm saying there are no rules at all, that the president could just have people just randomly executed. And that would be a system where we had no rules. But what I'm saying is that in this area, between humane treatment and torture, I think the United States is entitled to try to figure out how to apply previous rules to this new kind of conflict.
But John, your August 2002 memo said that the president is commander-in-chief had a constitutional power to order torture, and there was nothing that the Congress or a treaty could do to stop it. And now you're saying, well, you're not really saying that. Have you changed your mind since August of 2002?
I think, is a matter of just pure domestic constitutional law. So I think, for example, that I don't think a treaty can constrain the President's commander-in-chief power. I think that's the argument. The argument I'm making about adaptation of the rules is a question of what the United States should do as a matter of international law, which I treat as being a separate and distinct body of law from domestic constitutional
law. So in other words, if the President deems that he's got to torture somebody, including by crushing the testicles of the person's child, there is no law that can stop that.
No treaty.
No, and also no law by Congress. That's what you wrote in the August 2002 memo.
I think it depends on why the President thinks he needs to do that. I don't think President will ever...